Come on, brother. One of the things I do remember, and it was neat how God crossed our paths about 10 years ago, I believe it was, and we don't even recall the church we were in, but we were on deputation to go to Niger, and of course they were on deputation to go to Egypt. They're with Macedonia Baptist Missions, and I just recall the humble spirit that Brother David and Ms. Beth had, and I don't believe y'all had any children then either, did you? Oh yeah, right, because it would have been 2009 or 2010. It was right around that time. But just the call of God on their lives and how God has just redirected them. And I'm reminded through David's testimony, our own testimony, and it really goes for everybody. Listen, we just follow the Lord. He's the Lord of the harvest. He knows His harvest the best. And so as His laborers, which is represented through every Christian here tonight, we go where He sends. And we go gladly, and we go filled with His Spirit. So, Brother David, thank you for coming, being here tonight. We love you and appreciate you and praying for you as you present, brother.
You know, it is an honor to be here tonight and just sense Pastor's spirit of missions, you know, and how even the songs tonight were directing in that path, and that He had, just like Pastor said, that He is the Lord of the harvest. We serve a great and mighty God.
Hey.
And His vision is not just for Georgia. We need to win the people right here. Praise God. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And I realize that the God of heaven, that includes you, me, not just you and me, but also, just like Pastor mentioned, the Muslim. And a lot of times when you hear that word, when I say the word Muslim, what do you think? What's the first word you think of? Terrorist. Yeah, terrorist. You don't think loving neighbor, usually. You know, you don't. To be honest with you. But really, that's who they are. Pastor, you know. I mean, if he had experience with some Muslim people, they're very friendly people. You know, they're willing to just take the coat off their back and give it to you. They're very friendly. I think I was talking to a sister earlier. She had a friend that was a Muslim and talked about her hospitality and their love for even the Quran. They honor the Quran a lot of times more than we honor the Bible. And that's to our shame. But we serve the one true God. And I am so thankful to be here tonight. This is my lovely wife, Beth, and I have her to stand. And Joshua is right next to her. And Sandy. And then little Emma, you can see her right there. And you can be seated now. And Noah is downstairs. And if you can, it'd be wonderful for you to get to meet them. They'd love to meet you. And we have our table display back there. And that talks about what we're doing in Dearborn. But just as Pastor said, you know, you might wonder, how can I get from Egypt to Dearborn, you know, in the States? I won't get into all the details, but I will tell you this. I thank God for putting us there. At first, we were wondering, we thought we would live and die there in Egypt doing the work of God, just witnessing to the Muslim people. And I thank the Lord for the opportunity to go there. But when we first went there, we learned the Arabic dialect. Joshua was just one. Sandy was 3 months when we landed there. We learned the Egyptian dialect of Arabic. لَيْنَهُ كَذَا حَبَ اللَّهُ الْعَيْلَمْ حَتَّ بَزْمَنَهُ الْوَحِيدُ لَكَيَ لَا يَهْلَكْ كُلْ مَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِهِ بَعْتُكُنْ لَهُ الْحَيَّ لَبَدَيَّ. Now, who knows what Bible verse I said?
John 3:16.
All right, my interpreter for tonight. Here we go. That's right. Good job, preacher. I told one brother here I was going to preach out my Arabic Bible, and I have an Arabic Bible on the table back there. I give the $5 challenge. If you can read one word in Arabic out of the Arabic Bible, my son will give you $5. Right, Joshua? And so, we went there. God bless, and we started to work there. And you'll see a little bit of that in the video. The same gospel that you learn here is what we taught there. We saw some people saved, some Muslims getting the word of God in their hands. And, you know, to be honest with you, I didn't see a whole abundance of Muslims saved, and that grieves me. That's really a lot of reason why I went. There are people that it takes a lot of time to deal with, but we have some that made professions of faith and some that are saved now, and they're learning from Gerges, the man that we put in place there. And Beth taught a Manny, and so just like you have kids programs, we had that there too. And so we would go to visit people's homes, just like you do. And so a lot of the same things you do here is what we do there. It's just a different context. We're just training the people and they're training others. And I thank God for letting me go into that country. But when I came back to the States in 17, I planned on going back to a year after. God let us start adopting little baby Noah. I don't know if I introduced him. Noah's the baby we're adopting. He's in the nursery. And we're finishing that adoption process within these next couple of months. and then we will be going up to Dearborn. But when I came back to the States, and I was planning on going right back to Egypt, that kept on lingering, the adoption process. They said, well, it'll take less than a year. Here we are 2 years later, it's not been a year. But I flew back one time to ordain Gergis, and they didn't let me into the country. And then I went and got a new passport, and I flew back again, and they stopped me at the gate. They took me down to the holding area. They locked me up. They took away my cell phone. And with these other, I guess, rejects from going into the country, they couldn't get in the country either. So it was about 10 Muslims and me, and they were in there. But I thank God that he gave me a door of utterance. I was able to preach the gospel to them. They were able to hear the word of God. And these people that were in this were from Jordan, from, I think, from the Emirates, Palestinian guy, gentlemen that were in there. And all these were from Islamic countries. And I tell you this, without apology, that is probably the first time they heard the gospel preached to them. Probably the first time. What is the gospel? It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They believe that Muhammad was just a prophet. They don't believe he died. They probably had no one confront them with the gospel. Why? Because there's not a lot of missionaries going to the Muslim nations. You said the word terrorist. Guess what? Not all Muslim people are terrorists. They're some of the most friendly people you'll ever meet. To be honest with you. They need Jesus. And they might not ever hear that again over there. Thank God for satellite television, satellite radio, internet radio, and things like that that is infiltrating these places. And there's gospel preachers. Some are going over there. But I thank God for the opportunity. When I called the embassy when I got back to the States, they said, we don't have to tell you a reason why you can't get in. They didn't tell me. They said there's a blacklist in Egypt. If they feel you're a threat to national security, they put your name on that list. And so it grieves us. We can't get in, but we are excited about where God has us going. So we'll do a video, and then after that, I'll come back and recap, and we'll get into the Word of God. Over the centuries, thousands have come to America to find hope for their future. They've left impoverished lands to find riches. They've left areas of violence to find peace. They have traveled thousands of miles to provide for their families. People from Africa, Asia, Europe, and other faraway lands come to find fulfillment. Some from North Africa and the Middle East. The Arab. What words come to mind when you think of the Arab people? Do you think of exotic foods and spices? Tasty kebab, seasoned rice shawarma, and other delicious foods that they love to make? Or maybe when I say Arab, you think Muslim, terrorist, angry, or war-torn. Some may think, why are the Arabs always fighting? Some have a disdain for Muslims and believe all Arabs are Muslim. Many Arabs may follow Christ and are probably some of the most passionate people in the church. I have found that there are people that have needs and wants. There are people just like you and just like me. Many Arabs are looking for the way and still have not found him. These people need the one that loved them and gave himself for them, the Lord Jesus Christ. He seeks to save them through the power of the gospel. They need someone to proclaim the Almighty Christ to them, whether they are in a faraway land or right next door. What if these Arab people that are loved by God could be reached in one strategic place? We're the Gates family, and I'm David.
I'm Beth. This is Noah.
I'm Joshua.
I'm Sandy.
And I'm Emma.
The Lord let us serve in Cairo, Egypt from 2010 to 2017. We praise the Lord for letting us learn the most well-known Arabic dialect while starting a church that actively seeks to see others know the Lord. The Egyptian leaders we trained are now leading the church and training others to carry on the work of Christ. Egyptian men, women, young and old now have a church they can call their home. We were also blessed to help start a Bible college that has trained dozens of Egyptians. We praise the Lord for using us to reach these wonderful people. In 2019, the door to Egypt closed for two reasons. The government barred us from re-entering and because of our son Joshua's health condition, which requires specialized treatment. We're now praying to see the Lord continue his work through us right here to the Arabs of America. We plan to use the skills we learned in Egypt to reach Arabs in America. Just like in Egypt, we pray to see people saved and discipled, and we plan to establish multiple churches. The possibilities are endless because Arabs saved here can return to countries we cannot enter.
Dearborn, Michigan is the home to the largest Muslim population in North America. This needy city holds the largest mosque in North America that draws thousands to its deadening doctrine. Here on the outskirts of Detroit live 500,000 Arabs. Many are entrenched in Islam, and others hold fast the lies of other false religions, while others strive to fill their void with the mighty dollar bill. As I drove through the city, stores displayed the beautiful Arabic script, and Muslims roamed the streets. People from Lebanon, Yemen, Iraq, and other Middle Eastern countries now call Dearborn home. We pray that through the churches established in Dearborn, those wanting to serve Christ in Arab nations could come and take an active part in language, culture, and evangelism before going to their foreign nation to start churches. The plan of Christ is amazing and may seem impossible, but we serve the God of the impossible. May God let us co-labor together to see His name magnified in Dearborn, Michigan, to see lives affected in the Arab world. Thanks for your love for the Lord and for taking the time to share our burden for the lost. He is willing to save them when we work together for His glory. What if God had them come to America, not for money or worldly treasures, but for the treasure of Christ in their lives through the gospel? Will you do all you can to see Him magnified amongst the Arabs in America and then to the uttermost part of the earth? Hope that was a blessing to you. And like I said, if you have any other questions about anything, we'll be right there. And so what God did, as you saw in the video, that the Lord directed us through my son's health condition. Joshua has a rare condition called tuberous sclerosis, where he has small tumors on his brain. And so we looked first of all for places that have clinics that specialize in his condition. And so there's some in New York, there's some in California, some all over, but there's hardly any outside of America. The only one that fits the description of an Arabic country with a clinic for his condition was Israel. And we just didn't really see a way to stay in Israel without like a teaching or student or being married to an Israeli lady. And I'm not going to do that. So, you know, so I figured that God's shutting that door. And so then we looked over to Dearborn, Michigan. We know that God is putting us in that place. Imagine if you're walking down the road and you hear the call to prayer. You hear Allahu Akbar. You hear this cry, a wail of a call to come to pray to the God of Islam. You walk down the street, you see the Arabic script. You go to the stores, they're speaking a different language you don't understand. And you're hearing all these things and you're not in Cairo, Egypt. You're not in Saudi Arabia, but you're in the United States of America. And when you go to Dearborn, you'll see a lot of some of the similar stores. You'll see a Walmart, maybe not just like the Walmart in Georgia, as we saw. There's a lot of, a lot of different cultures right there. You'll see some of the stores that you might see, some of the restaurants, but you also see the Arabic script. You'll see a lot of stores that say the word halal, which means that this meat has been cleansed in a way that the Muslims can eat this meat. And it's right there. Thousands out. We went knocking on doors. And everybody that answered the door was a Muslim, except for maybe two people. The first time is the same thing. Everyone that answered the door was a Muslim person, except for just maybe a couple of doors. And when I was talking to them, you know, they were very friendly. I'd give them the word of God. And they say this. They say, well, your word's been corrupted. Well, your word's been changed. But someone say, oh, I've always wanted to read this. Thank you for this. Some of them, in Egypt, when you give them a Bible, they kiss it. They do that. Why? In reverence to the Word of God. Why? Because Muhammad said that the Bible, Injil, which is the Gospels, Torah, Zabur, the Psalms, Al-Anbiya, the Prophets, these books came from heaven. That's what they say. They say, some of them say it's been changed, but Muhammad never said they've been changed. And so you get that into their hands, and there's power in God's Word. If you can at least get the scriptures, and on the back table, there's a little thing called the Islamic Primer. It talks about some of the beliefs, the doctrines of Islam, but also talks about how you can talk to some of them. It's just something short and to the point that you can use that and get that in your hands and learn how you can talk to some of the Muslim people. And so we believe that if God has us there in this place, that if we saw people saved, and when we see people saved by the grace of God and taught the Word of God, that they can go out to, they can go back to Arab lands that we can't get into. They can be taught the Word of God and stay there and win people as well. Or we can start like an institute where people, if they want to go to Egypt, they want to go to Yemen or some of these other lands, they can come there to Dearborn, they can learn some Arabic, they can learn how to reach Muslims, and they can take part in reaching these people. And so you pray with us as we pray to get this started. We're going to, by the grace of God, we're going to be finishing up the adoption process. The judge has already signed what they call the TPR, taking away the parental rights of the mother. And then after that, we will be able, on the 24th of this month, her rights will be taken away. You might say, well, that's a pretty rough thing to do, to take the rights from this mother. But we love the mother, we love the father. But unfortunately, they were on drugs and different things of that nature. But we're praying for them to come and know the name of the Lord Jesus. But they even realized that they can't take care of the baby. And so we said, we're going to raise up Noah for the glory of Christ. And, you know, we're excited about that. And so when that's over, we'll get right into the adoption process. And then there'll be adoption hearing. And then after that, he's ours. And we can go right up to Dearborn, Michigan. And so we're praying, and the kids finish up school in May. And so I'll be going up there this upcoming month to find a home. And then getting the home set up, by the time they're out of school, hopefully we'll just get right on over there and get started in the work. So you pray with us that we'll go over there and God will do a mighty work. While I was knocking on doors there, it was one of those days where you're knocking on doors and everybody would shut the door, or didn't want a Bible, or wasn't there, wasn't home. Have you ever had those days, preacher, where you knock and there just no one's answering, or just one of those days like that? It was really cold, because it gets cold up there. And so we had one more door. And when I was knocking on this door, I could tell just by the way things were set up that it was a Muslim man. And he comes, and I said the same thing, like I told you. I gave him the Word of God, and I said, hey, do you mind if I come back and visit again? He said, yes, that'd be great. So I went back next month, because I try to go back and forth to Dearborn, and I went there with the pastor. And I came, and I knocked on the door. Mustafa was his name. You know what Mustafa did? He had us come in his home. Interesting, huh? He didn't blow us up. He didn't chop my head off. You know, he didn't give me poison when he gave me some tea. He gave me cookies, he gave me treats, he gave me this tea, and he told us that he'd been depressed for years, been taking medication for depression. He has cancer, lost his job. You know what I found? He's a man just like you, just like me. He has his problems, he has two young girls that he loves and a son. Wonderful. They just need Jesus. They need the gospel. And we have a commission from the Almighty God to go into all the world and preach the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether it be to an atheist or to a Christian here in Georgia, because everybody's saved in Georgia, right? You know, everybody's saved here. You know, the guy that's prayed the prayer as a kid and has the cross tattoo on his hand and he drinks his beer. That same guy that needs the gospel here, they need him there as well. They need him in Egypt. They need him all over the world. They need Christ. Last time I went as well, I had another young man. If you can remember, Mustafa is the one young man. Sandy said it like this. She said, Mustafa could be the next Gergis. Gergis was that preacher that was in that video that you saw there. And I, by the grace of God, he will be. Pray for Mustafa to get saved. And Ismail, which is Ishmael in English, Ismail in Arabic, he said that, I'll read your Bible. I gave him the Gospel of John. He says, but we'll argue about it, talk about it when you come back, you know, because he's talking about all the things that Muslims say, that the Bible's corrupt. You serve three gods. They say a lot of things against Jesus, but they say he's a prophet. They say that he didn't sin. They say he was born of a virgin. They say he did miracles. They say all this about Jesus. In the Quran, it says that. But he didn't die on the cross. And he's not the Son of God. He's even returning to judge the nations. In the Quran, it says that about Jesus. They believe in Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Adam, Moses, all these prophets. But they don't believe the gospel. And will you pray for the Muslim people? And will you pray, God, if you want me to go to them, I will go. We at least say, God, if you want me to go and to a mission, to be a missionary, I will do that. Pray that as we open up the scriptures to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. have a few more minutes, but I wanted to share just a couple thoughts from the scriptures. Hope it's encouraging to you and helpful. You know, when you get busy in Egypt, a lot of times sometimes you get acclimated to their culture and the way the things are over there. And they love talking about a few things. They love talking about politics. Hey, like, how many love talking about politics nowadays? They love talking about politics. They love talking about religion. Things that we try to avoid, they love talking about. But they also love talking about soccer. Soccer. Sports. You know, here we call it, we call it soccer. There they call it football or cuore de cadum. That's what they call it. And my team, I used to play soccer because I love soccer. I love playing, love running around. I'll be, you know, try to coach the kids' soccer team when I'm able to. Just talk to them and practice with them. And when I was at school, my school, Warwick High School, was the school that was best known for losing at soccer. You know, we could not play. I loved playing. And then we would always lose. I had my friend, he would heckle the other team, make them angry. One guy chicken, he would tackle the other team. And in American football, you can do that. Can you do that in regular soccer, guys? Can you tackle somebody in soccer? No, you can't. You look like you might be able to, brother. You look pretty tough there. You'd be able to tackle a few of them, take them down. But you're not supposed to do that in soccer. So we would lose all the time. Now, why do you think we would always lose? What are some reasons a team loses in soccer? What are some reasons why you would lose? Why? What's that? What are some reasons why a team would lose? Not good. Yeah, that's right. Not good. That's it. What's that?
Out of shape.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Out of shape. Not working as a team. That's right. Anything else? Don't score. No practice. That's it. What, Joshua?
Not following the rules.
Not following the rules. That's good. Oh, you should. Not a good goalie. Yeah. And all those reasons. That's right. You know, those are all very good reasons. And you know, we could take that illustration and take it, I guess, in the same with missions. We have the rule book, Josh talked about, the Word of God. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. We have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the one that directs the team, the church. We have, and if we're not striving together for the faith of the gospel, we're not working together, it will not get accomplished. Paul here in Philippians was in jail, writing to the Philippian church. He was trying to rejoice in the Lord while he was in this wretched place. He was in jail. But he wanted to tell them that you have a task. You have a mighty Lord Jesus. He is your joy. He is your strength. He is your peace. Think on these things. He wanted to remind them that they need not fret just because he was in jail, that there was still a mission to be accomplished. And one thing that we as the missionaries or pastor and you as the church need to realize is that we have the same goal. To see the glory of Christ in all the nations. This cannot, no matter what circumstance you're in, what trouble you're going through, what issues you have, what health conditions, we have a commission from God. We have to glorify His name. And the main reason why that it's so sad that the Muslims can't come to know Him, the main thing that just grieves the heart of God is that they cannot give Him glory in their condition right now. He's worthy of praise. They will die and go to hell. I hate that. And so we have to say we will work together for the glory of Christ. We will do things for Him. And see, how can we strive together for the faith of the gospel? Let's read our passage, Philippians 1, verse 27. Y'all stand for the primary reading of the Word of God. It's just one verse. If you can't, that's fine. It says this in verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, come in, Lord Jesus, our Savior. I pray tonight that you would help us to strive together for your name's sake in all the nations. Lord, if there's someone here that's lost and still dead in sins, Lord, that you would work in their hearts, convict them, and see them come to know you. And Lord, for those here that are just holding on to sin and things that don't really matter, help them to submit to your authority and say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I will do. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. How can we strive together for the faith of gospel? First, you have to have an experience with the gospel. Let's look at chapter 1 and the first few verses there. Verse number 4 says this: always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests of joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So here he says some key words here: your fellowship in the gospel. The first thing you need to know is before we can really strive together for faith of the gospel, you have to have experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to be born again. Now, I mean, that's key. You have to know him as your Lord and Savior. The only way that the Philippians could have fellowship in the gospel is if they were born again. He's talking to a church. I know tonight I'm talking to some people here on a Sunday night, but do you know the Lord Jesus? Have you been born again? I grew up in a church. I knew all the right things to say. I knew Christianese. I knew it all. Knew all the right terms. Knew the terms. I knew. Memorized John 3:16. We had Awana clubs. I had all the awards for the Awana clubs. The Timothy Award. The Excellence Award. Had the little badges. But I was lost. Do you know him? And if we can work together, the first thing you know have to know is that Jesus Christ the Lord, he died on the cross for your sins. He was buried. He rose again from the dead. There's a holy God of heaven. He loves you. But the wrath of God is upon your sin. It says this: for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Romans 1:18. He's a holy God. But he sent his son to die for your sins. Do you have an experience with the gospel? Have you been justified? Has your sin been placed on the Lord Jesus and all his righteousness has been freely given to you? Have you been sanctified, been set apart for a special purpose for his glory? And even in the Word of God, it talks about being glorified, glorification. Has he seen you accepted in his Son? Are you born again? 2, how else can we work together for the faith of the gospel? Let's look at verse 9. Experience a life of prayer. Paul says this: in this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more knowledge and all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. So here, this is the missionary praying for this church. He's wanting them to grow in love. He's wanting them to be filled with the Spirit. He's wanting them to love one another. And so this is a prayer that Paul, the missionary, was praying for the church. But this is something you can pray for your pastor and the missionary as well. Because we all need to be filled with his Spirit. We all need to be growing in love. Just because pastor's up here preaching doesn't mean he's super Christian. His wife will tell you that. You know? Seriously, we as men of God need your prayer. We all are in the battle together. We need to pray for you, but pray for us. That God will give us doors of utterance. That he will give us power in his word. That we won't be lazy. That we won't be just about our own business, but about the Father's business. How can we strive together? When you know you're born again, and when we are praying for one another. Finally, let's look at our last part in our verse, the key verse. It says in verse 27, when we are walking worthy of gospel, when we're experiencing a life worthy of the gospel, victorious Christian life. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. What does that mean there? That word gospel means the death, the burial, and resurrection. When your life becomes a picture of the gospel, that means you've died with Christ. You are now risen with Christ. You're walking in the power of Christ. And now you are striving to see the name of Christ magnified here, there, and everywhere. You want to see Jesus' name known in all parts of the earth. If you're still struggling with sin and wickedness and things, submit that to the authority of Christ. Yeah. Say, Lord, I want to live for you. Amen. Tonight, will you say that, God, I want to strive together with pastor and the missionaries for the faith of the gospel. Make sure you're born again. Make sure you're experiencing a life full of prayer. and that you have a victorious Christian life, and that you can say, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Our Heavenly Father, we come in the Lord Jesus, our Savior. And God, I pray that this church tonight will be used to magnify your name in the nations. Lord, you're so faithful and you're good to us, and I pray that you work in hearts.